Everyone has a story to tell. What's yours? You're listening to Around the World with Dan Perry. Do you enjoy hearing tales of world adventure? Would you like travel advice from those who know the road well? Maybe you want to embark on a journey of your own, and you just need a bit of motivation to get started. You'll find all of that and more on Around the World with Dan Perry. Hey everybody, how you doing? My guest today is Moses Santiago, who comes from Wisconsin in the United States of America. Now, if you know me, you know that I am also from Wisconsin, but we did not meet in our home state, even though it's a smaller state. We met here in Beijing, China, where we both currently live. And I actually barely knew Moses. I only had met him a few times before we recorded this podcast. So it was a lot of fun to get to know him. I went over to his little Hutong apartment, hung out with him and his cat, and had a great time. We talked about travel, and Moses told a lot of stories that kind of had me on the edge of my seat, biting my nails. I couldn't believe how calm he was able to stay when all these horrible things were happening to him. But he's some kind of Zen master. It was a really interesting and fun conversation. Let's jump into it. My conversation with Moses Santiago.
Yeah, the Hutongs are a good place. It's like there's always something to see. And the public bathrooms, because a lot of my neighbors don't have a bathroom.
Always something to smell, too.
Yes. So it's definitely different than living in an apartment. The bathroom, actually, they just added it on.
In your apartment?
Yeah. So like when it was winter, like there's no heating in my bathroom. So it's like dead cold in winter in the bathroom. Because most of the Hutongs don't have bathrooms. They still use the public restroom right down the street.
Right. And I just was in your bathroom and I noticed like, wow, this is really nice.
Yeah.
It looks brand new.
Yeah. I'm the first person to live here.
Yeah. Oh, in this apartment?
Hutong. Yeah.
It's been like remodeled.
Completely renovated. Yeah.
Yeah. It looks awesome.
Yeah. Huh. I know. And I mean, I love the, it's just cozy. I love the loft and, you know, it's good. It's in the middle of Beijing. And,
yeah, everything's and right
everything's
here.
Yeah.
I mean, this place is pretty small by Western standards.
Yes.
But it still, it feels fine. You
yeah.
know? Like you've got a nice little sitting area.
Yeah. And I think for like one person, it's fine. But like two people,
yeah,
it can get really crowded.
I could see that.
Yeah.
Huh.
One person, it's definitely okay. But
so now have you lived here in this specific place for your whole time in Beijing?
No. So I actually lived in a suburb before. Like it's not too far from here, but it's like probably like, I don't know, like 12 kilometers. So it's not too far, but it's just a whole different area. I lived in more of a community area where this is just like you walk outside and there's like fruit markets, your butcher, you know, all the Western Hutongs with all the food and like,
yeah,
it's awesome. It really has changed. Like it's nice just to walk outside and be like, oh, I need fruit and not have to go to a mall, inside a mall to like a supermarket, yeah. Or go to, you know, I don't remember the last time I went to a supermarket, you know?
Right?
Because like the butcher is right down the street, the gal selling oranges and water is right down the street, you know.
Right.
So it's like supermarkets are just not a necessity when you live here.
Yeah, it's a different way of looking at it. Like whatever you need, you go to that specific shop for that.
Yeah,
item.
Yeah.
It's cool though. It's like it's a little bit of an older way, I'd say.
Yeah,
of living.
Totally, and it's cheaper, I think.
The food is?
Yeah, just, I mean, in like buying meats and fruits and everything, I think it's cheaper than the super, and more fresh.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, you know, it's not, like, you're not going into, like, I think at the supermarket, the meat might have been a couple days old, because it doesn't, I don't think it regularly gets rotated out, where here, it's just, like, every day, people are, like, buying it, and they're restocking it, you know, it's probably just a couple hours old.
Yeah, for sure. Know? I mean, you go to smaller towns, and you'll see people just butchering the animals
out
on the street sometimes.
Yeah, totally. It's nice, and they'll do anything. You know, like, if you, they have the beef, they're like, no worries, we'll ground it for you if you need ground beef. You know, like, they'll do it all, whatever you need. It's really nice and convenient, especially working full-time. The last thing you want to do is go to a supermarket after work. Here, it's just like, oh, just stop at the shop. Pick up literally everything, your rice, your meat, your vegetables, your fruit.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I used to go to like Woodman's.
Yeah, of course, totally.
It's awesome because everything's like really cheap and, yes, and all, but man, it's so huge. Yes. It's like a 2-hour ordeal going there.
It is. I think in the States, grocery shopping is a... Okay, we're going grocery shopping today.
Yes, you like know? That's on your agenda for the day.
It's like, I hated grocery shopping because it's always like a 1 hour to 2 hour thing, you know, because and you always go to the same one because if you don't, then you don't know the layout of the store. And then, you know,
then
you're trying to find things and I don't know. I prefer this type of living over the... going to supermarkets and making a
Like when I was growing up, it was even worse because we didn't live in a city. Yeah. We lived like 15 minutes from the city, so it really was like your whole afternoon was grocery shopping. So what kind of work do you do?
So I teach first grade here at an international school. And it's good. It's my first year teaching first grade. I taught at an IB school before for 2 years for kindergarten.
In Beijing.
Yep, at one of the IB schools here. And first grade, I was ready to go to first grade just because, like, I think I'm more, I like first grade. There's a lot more that you can do. You know, it's, and you see a lot of just, you see a lot, you can see the growth in them. You know, you teach them how to read. That's huge.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's huge being able to say, like, I taught you how to read.
That's mind-blowing.
No one ever thinks about that.
Like, that's such a like a fundamental skill that everybody has.
Totally.
As an adult.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah, and so like you know, and it's like I was talking to my coworker, and it's like, you know, I feel like sometimes people like downgrade kindergarten and first grade, but it's like those are the formative years for like fine motor skills, holding pencils, cutting, learning how to read. It's just like without those two grades, like, you wouldn't be able to do anything.
I know, it's so important.
Yeah.
It's almost like I used to take Spanish classes in high school. And so when I was in ninth grade, I took first year Spanish. So we were just learning how to say hello and stuff at first. And everyone tends to assume that the first year Spanish teacher only knows that much Spanish.
Yeah.
Like, they don't know anything else.
Yeah, that's true.
And it's like, it's almost like the same with kindergarten and first grade. Like, wow, you don't really know much. All you're doing is teaching kindergarten.
That's it. Oh, you're right. Just teaching kindergarten and first grade. That's what you hear a lot. It's interesting. But, you know, like, the energy, especially here in Beijing, you know, a lot of the kids, you know, a lot of their parents are out working. And so you're really forming their emotional development also, you know, with the one-child policy that was in place. And a lot of them don't have brothers and sisters. And so, like, a lot of their sharing, a lot of, like, their interaction and social interactions happen at school and happen in your classroom. And so you really have to take time out and teach them, you know, how to act appropriate, you know?
Yeah.
And it's exhausting. It's an exhausting thing.
Do any kids ever call you daddy?
Yeah, they have. They have. Yeah, by accident. You know, they have. It's kind of crazy. Yeah, I see them as my family because I'm with them all day. You know, I'm literally with them probably more than their parents are in the week. You know, and
it's weird to think about, huh? Like, even as adults, most people who have full time jobs, they're like with their coworkers more than they're with their spouses.
Yeah. So I take it really seriously because I feel like, you know, the impact that you can have on these kids—they're soaking sponges—and you can either make it or break it for them.
Yeah, it's scary, man. That's a big responsibility.
Yeah, I agree with you.
I mean, I happen to be married to a kindergarten teacher.
Yeah,
so
you know.
Yeah. I mean, before I met her, I probably thought about it like the way most people would. Like, oh, it's just kindergarten.
Yeah. Whatever. And because they're so young, you really take it, you go deeper with them because you really, you know, like, yeah, they're so young. You know, it's like your job to protect them, you know, and to make sure that they're like, yeah, you're a parent. You know, I always say, like, throughout the day, I'm a parent. And I was just thinking about this today. I was like, man, like, I can't imagine having kids. Like, you know, I am a parent, but this is, like, how equipped you become by teaching younger years. You know, like, you have to be really patient, and you have to be, you know, willing to be flexible with everything. You know, because you never know how your day is going to go, and you never know where the lesson's going to go, you know, and everything is like, and their minds are so simple. That's another thing that I've realized is their minds are like, I was asking them, there's this book called, I don't know, it's like a question book, So I asked him a question yesterday. I'm like, are you different in school than who you are at home? And, you know, they're answering one because, like, yeah, I'm different. Like, I don't have to raise my hand at home to use the bathroom. You know? Yeah. And I would never have thought about that because my brain goes to, like, these complex answers. No, like, I am who I am at school. I'm at who I am. My friends know, you know? But no, they're thinking in aspects of,
yeah,
like...
Yeah, you're, like, drawing up, like, Descartes and shit, like, Chaucer and stuff.
These complex questions, yeah, and they're just like, no, I don't have to raise my hand at school, at home. You know, I can just go to the bathroom. I can run around naked. Yeah. You know? I'm just like, you're so right. You're so right.
It's true. I guess... So you're taking away their freedom as well.
Right, yeah. I lead them to where I want them to be, but I let them think they have control.
Which I guess is probably pretty easy to do at that age.
Yes, it is. They're like, Dory, what?
Yeah. What about siblings? You mentioned the one child policy. So none of the kids have siblings still? Or
some of them do.
How do you see it, like... going? It's been a couple of years now. For people who don't know, like,
yeah,
like you could only have one child in, right, China until maybe 2 years ago.
Yeah, just pretty recent.
Now you can have two.
Yeah. So I heard about, I was just talking to my coworkers about it. So the kids at my school are obviously, it's a private international, so their parents are very wealthy. So some of them do have siblings, but how they got around it is that they didn't register their child with the government. And now, because to live in Beijing and to have Beijing Hukou, which is like the registration of Beijing, is very, very, very hard to get. And it's also, Beijing has some of the best schools, public schools too. And so what they were doing is, like, they weren't, some of them wouldn't go on vacation with their family because they couldn't, this child couldn't leave, the second child couldn't leave because they were undocumented, quote unquote. And now, really? When the second child policy came in, they were able to register their children as Beijing residents, and it changed things for a lot of families.
Oh, that affected wealthy families,
yeah,
too, huh?
Oh, yeah. Oh, totally. Because what they could do is that one child could take Beijing residency, but the other child had to take a parent residency, which is not from Beijing, you know, because most of the Beijing people are migrants here that, you know, found jobs or, you know, moved here later after college and university. But, you know, some of them have siblings. It's different, you know, because I think because of the one child policy that was in place before, children are still, like, coddled a lot because it's just like, man, like, they treasure their kids, like, you know, to the extent where you're just like, I don't know if you should still be feeding your 7-year-old.
Yeah. Oh, right.
You know?
Right, Katie's told me about this.
Right, they can do it by themselves, you know, right. Stuff like that, where, I mean, it's good and bad to an extent.
I mean, they do love their kids.
Yeah,
they do. Very much value children. Here.
Totally, they do. I think sometimes to the extent way too much, but on the flip side, too, is that some of them don't see their parents, you know, and they're with grandma and grandpa because that's also a cultural thing where, like, yeah, you're all, you know, the grandparents take care of your kids.
Yeah, so and common.
Yeah.
Yeah, like that couple I just saw.
Yes,
yeah. Those were not parent age,
right,
people.
No.
Those are grandparents.
No, you know, it's so different from, like, the Western mentality. I know my parents are like, when you have your kids, those are your kids.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Like, sure, drop them off for a weekend, you know, but right, you're going to pick them up and you're going to raise them. You know, here it's just like, okay, mom,
right,
I had my kid, you know.
It's kind of, I thought about that. It's kind of interesting how, in a way, it's almost better. Like,
I mean, yeah.
Like, older people are more, like, ready.
Right, yeah.
They're like, mentally more,
right,
prepared to,
yeah,
like, have these kids.
I agree, yeah.
Especially if they've kind of been there when they have...
Yeah.
So, like, they have their kids, and they're, like, in their 20s or 30s.
Yeah.
And they're kind of raising them kind of nice.
Right, yeah.
And they kind of get an idea for it, a feel for it.
Yeah.
And then once they're, like, in their 60s, now they're, like, full on.
Right. And it's so true. They are full... Like, grandparents are full on parents here. I think that, like, the only downfall is, like, the mobility thing. You know, like,
you
have to be able to be running around. And, you know, you have a 7-year-old. You have a 6-year-old, you know. And language, too, where grandparents' generation, they weren't learning English, you know. They, you know, so their language ability for English is very, very low, you know.
Yeah.
But these kids are going to international schools, and their parents and their grandparents expect them to perform as fluent speakers, you know, with no fluent environment at all, you know.
That's tough.
It's like a conundrum, this paradox, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about Chinese, though? Do most of the grandparents speak Chinese?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I guess here, totally. There's so many different dialects.
Yes, yeah.
I wonder about that, the oldest generation here. Do they all kind of know Chinese now, or...
You know, I don't know. I don't really interact with a lot of the grandparents or parents, you know, because there's this, I mean, even teacher and parent relationship, it's still, education in China is so valued, you know, where it's like, you know, you honor your teacher, you know, like, you don't even call them by their first name, you know, you just say teacher, you know?
Yeah, it's like rude in English.
Yes, but... it's so rude. I hate it when my kids do them, like, my name is Moses. You know, but that's just like how they've been taught that you need to... That's how you address them. They're your teacher. You address them by teacher. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I mean, you know, I've met some students that they're Chinese. I've been blown away. You know, Chinese skills are like very, very low, you know. Mm-hmm. And that's crazy to think about because they don't really have a language. They don't really have English and they don't really have Chinese.
The parents?
The kids.
Oh, the kids.
Yeah, you know.
The kids don't have English or Chinese. So right. They just have a dialect?
Well, Yeah, like some kids can't even, in my class, speak Chinese or their English is better than Chinese and their English isn't like amazing. You know, it's something crazy to think about where, and like what you said, the different dialects that are all around Beijing because of the migrant workers.
Oh, we have a cat here getting involved in the podcast.
Little Nona.
She just had a little surgery.
Yes, and she went Chinese style.
What does that mean?
It means it's like literally like a fast food chain. You buy a coupon, you drop her off, you are a part of the spay procedure.
So you say, I want my cat to get spayed.
Bought a coupon.
You hold down the cat?
I had to hold her. Well, not during this pay, but like I had to hold her down while they were trying to take blood. She's screaming. I couldn't do it. I said, I'm sorry, I can't do this. And I walked out.
Yeah.
And then like you pick her up an hour later.
Huh.
Drugged up. So messed up. I couldn't. She was passed out in her litter box. It's quite a different...
Huh.
Even animal environment here.
I guess I've never done that at home either.
Yeah.
But yeah, I imagine you're not quite as involved.
Well, right. In the States, you just, okay, we'll see you tomorrow. You know, you don't even know.
Like, oh, you don't even see the drugged up.
No, you don't see anything. Huh. You know, you leave them for 24 hours. Here, it's just like, okay, you got to come get your cat in an hour.
I mean, it's funny. Like, I've given my old roommate used to have a cat, and we used to give him catnip
sometimes,
and he would just be, it would look like he's stoned, on acid or something. He's in another planet.
That's how Nona is also. That's how it is.
It's so funny to see a cat like that.
I was shocked. Like, I came home, and I found her passed out in the litter box, not moving. You know, I'm like freaking out. I'm like, wake up, are you dead? You know, and it was crazy. The vet told me, don't feed her for 7 days.
What? Well, then I guess she won't have a problem getting pregnant.
She would have
if she's not hasn't eaten for 7 days.
She would have died.
Yeah, she'd be dead.
And I was like, thank God. I mean, I'm like, are you sure?
Yeah.
I was like, 7 days is a long time without food or water.
That's a long time.
Especially after like an intense surgery where you get, you know, like your uterus removed, you know, and I'm just like, okay, I won't feed her for 7 days. And then I like, I'm calling my friends. I'm like, hey, like, they're like, no, she needs to be drinking water and eating within 3 hours. And if she doesn't eat and drink tomorrow, like, you got to take her back. Something's wrong.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Huh. He was so casual.
I wonder if it was like a language.
It definitely wasn't a language barrier. I was like, really? I was like, seven days? He's like, yeah, 7 days.
You know, there's this like problem, like, I don't know, mental problem where you've got a prisoner. Like, let's say you're a prisoner and you're going to be executed and you have to choose. They're going to put you in one of three rooms, and the first room is full of zombies that want to kill you,
right.
And the second room is full of like other murderers with knives and guns, and the third room is full of lions that haven't eaten in a year.
Right.
And which room do you take?
Man, I mean,
the answer is actually pretty obvious once you think about it.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, like, are you talking about quick death?
Well, the lions haven't eaten in a year.
Right. Well, I mean,
they're all dead.
Oh, I was like, I don't. Yeah, that's true. They're all dead. That's so true. I didn't think about that. I'm like the worst with jokes and puns and anytime. Yeah, I know. I'm so bad. They go right over my head.
Well, I know that I give you a while to think about that one, but, you know, it's
yeah,
a podcast.
Right, yeah.
But instead of lions, I guess we could do Chinese cats.
Yeah.
Who have just been spayed.
Yeah.
On their week-free diet.
I couldn't believe it.
Food.
And every vet is different. Like, how they do, it's crazy. Like, everyone, every vet that you visit is just different. Which is kind of crazy, you know, that
there's
not
standards.
No, there's not a, like an across board standard. It's like, you know, I talked to my friend who went to a different vet, and she's like, oh, that's weird. Like, that's weird that they did that. Like, what? Mm. Or like, you know, one of my friends took his dog to get spayed, and like, she got spayed after Nona, and she got her stitches out earlier, you know, and I'm just like,
oh, weird.
Right? You know, that's it. It's just like this, yeah, you know, everyone has a different time frame, what, you know, what you should do, and but it's China. That's just always how it is, right?
Yeah,
every
yeah.
person that you talk to has a different answer for you on what to do or how to do things. Or
yet they've all got the definitive answer in their
yes,
own mind.
Yes, yes.
I wonder, like, how long they have to go to school. Like if there's a degree that the vets have?
Or... I hope so, because he just cut out her uterus.
Yeah, that's true.
He just sliced her open and took out a main part of her.
Wow. I didn't even know that's what spading was.
Yeah.
Like, I guess
it's so intense. It's like, I was talking to my friends, and like, I cannot believe we do this to animals. I cannot believe we do this to animals. And I mean, but the reality is, it's just like, are rather on the street, you know, like in comparison, like, you know, especially in Beijing, like if you're on the street, a street cat, like you're fighting for food, you probably have diseases and you're going to die, you know? So it's just like, she's, I mean, uterus removed or dying in the street, you know,
right.
Which one would you choose?
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of another philosophical
thing. Right. Which one? Right.
Like, you can have a short life, but you have total freedom.
Right. Yeah, that's true.
Or
right.
You can be locked in a hutong apartment.
Yes. Eating
then,
with toys,
yeah.
You know.
Infinite food.
Yes.
No problem.
Right.
Infinite love.
And you're
going to
live.
Can't ever leave.
You can't ever leave. I know. Mm. I actually want to take her out like a dog.
Walker?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, yeah.
But then again, like Beijing, you know, it's just dirty. It's just like, probably not a good idea. Especially the hutong areas, you know.
Yeah, well, you've done the spading thing. Now you don't have to worry about stray cats. And,
yeah, trying
get into
to.
Her and...
No. God, no. I don't need any grandchildren.
Right.
She's hard enough.
Yeah, she wouldn't have to raise her own cats.
Yes.
You could raise the kittens for her.
No, sorry. I would not. I would actually give them away.
Yeah, that's true. I guess I haven't thought about this, but pets are probably a pretty new concept in China, huh?
Yeah. I mean, it's weird because, like, yeah, I mean, I've seen so many dogs without leashes. You know, they're always,
yeah.
You know, it's
yeah.
just like this weird thing where it's just like, what do you mean you don't have your dog on a leash? You're in, like, one of the biggest cities in the world, 22 million people,
yeah.
You know, probably more now. And it's like, there's so many dogs and so much, and you just, I mean, they're just, like, chilling,
yeah.
You know, walking behind their owner.
Yeah, they usually, and they usually hang out near their owner, too.
I've yeah.
Heard. You know what's funny is when you see the guy with like two dogs and one's on a leash and one
yeah.
isn't.
Yeah. Maybe he's like punished them for the day.
Maybe.
You know,
I had this in Mexico. I stayed
yeah.
with this family and they had two dogs and one's name was Greco
mm-hmm.
and one's name was Goma.
Mm.
And Goma was just this mutt that
yeah.
they like, didn't care about.
Right, yeah.
And Greco was like a purebred.
Yeah.
And they really
they
cared.
Loved him.
Yeah, and they
right.
wanted like to preserve.
Right.
We even talked about his sperm and like
preserving
his sperm and making sure it's pure. And
right.
Las espermas de Greco.
Oh,
I remember that
my
phrase.
Gosh.
And, and so when they went out walking with him, he'd have like the nice leash.
Right.
And the other
dog
would, yeah, come on.
Chopped liver.
Yeah.
Chopped liver for sure.
I mean, I guess they both got fed. But
yeah. I mean, and dogs are weird, too, because, like, they are just happy, you know? Like, they're just,
yeah.
like, they're just happy. Cats are just, like, no, like, you know, she has, like, a bin full of toys. She likes one. You know, if you give it to a dog,
yeah.
they love them all.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
no matter what you get them, like, cats are just, they're all, it's crazy. I never liked cats before. And I'm also allergic, but.
You're allergic to cats?
I'm allergic to all animals, yeah. And
Whoa.
So, yeah. But, you know, I went to Shanghai and the Airbnb host was like, you know, I just rescued this cat. I can cancel the whole Airbnb, or, you know, do you mind taking care of the kitten? You know, I was like, yeah. Like, and she was like so tiny. She was only a couple weeks old. And then from there, it was just like, wow, cats are pretty cool. Like, you know, they're self-sufficient. Like, I can leave for 2 or 3 days and she's fine. You know, with a dog, you have to come and walk them 3 times a day. You can't leave for the weekend, you know. And they're just like, they're independent, you know, but yet also want love, you know, when they want it. And so it's a nice animal to have while you're abroad, I think. Just because, you know, it doesn't take away from your personal life or your social life, you know.
And so, but now somehow she hasn't bothered you with the allergies?
So I had a dog in the States a couple years ago, and my skin is fine, like, it adjusts, but, like, if she licks my face, if anything like that, like, I just start to, like, swell up. So, like, there's areas of, like, my hands and my arms and stuff are fine, but, like, anywhere near my face, like, I can just feel my face start to swell up and stuff like that.
So it's not even necessarily a fur thing or dander?
Yeah, I don't, you know, and it's weird because sometimes it is a fur thing. Sometimes I come home and I just cannot stop sneezing. Huh. But, like, most days I'm fine, you know? Maybe my body's just, like, getting over it, you know?
Slowly adjusting.
Yeah, totally. Mm.
Huh. Now, so I guess the question on my mind now with having a pet when you're abroad is you're not going to stay here forever, right?
No, oh my gosh, she's coming with me.
What's, yeah, is yeah, that gonna
yeah, yeah, she's my family. She's my known. Yeah, totally.
Well, she's pretty young, right?
Yeah, she's only seven months old.
Okay.
Yeah, so I adopted her when she was in October, November, December, January. So when she was like 4 months old, I adopted her.
Oh, okay.
About 3 or 4 months old. But yeah, I mean, the plan is that she'll just keep going with me. You know, she's a Chinese citizen.
Yeah.
You know, think about that. I mean, she's an international woman. You know, she's going to be traveling the world. You
know? That's true. She will be.
Yeah.
Huh. Have you looked into, like, quarantine processes?
I have. Beijing's quarantine, I actually, like, it's pretty fine. Like, most countries, like, you just have to, like, there's certain steps that you have to, like, go through. But, like, it's fine within, like, you get them within, like, a day or two. But Beijing is the worst. Beijing has a 30-day quarantine process.
And what's that mean? You just, like, leave her in a cage for 30 days?
Yeah, with, like, the Beijing, what, an animal administration.
And they feed her, or do they have this
process? Who knows? Who knows?
No feeding her for a week.
Who knows what they do, right?
Right.
And you won't ever get any definitive answers. No one would tell you. My friend actually just brought her cat over, and she said it was the longest 30 days of her life. Oh, you know, because you don't know, like, what is going on, you know, in this quarantine that they have. Is it cleaned? Or is it just, like, a bunch of, like, animals in cages that just shit in their cages, you know? So, like, what? Who knows?
And you don't get to see it or anything?
Oh, nothing. Man.
And I guess if your cat doesn't survive that 30 days, like, there's probably...
You sign a waiver.
Probably can't do anything.
No, nothing. Wow. Yeah, nothing at all. So, I mean, I'm glad that I adopted her here because, you know...
Yeah.
That's terrible. Imagine 30 days as a pet, you're like, this is my life. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. A long time.
That's true.
That's a long time.
I wonder, there's, like, she's so small. Like, maybe you could just sneak her under your shirt.
Well, no, you can, and that's the thing, too. You can, you know, because most countries, like... I mean, she's in a bag that looks like it looks like a backpack, you know, she's in and so like, as long as my friend said that her mistake was her cat was in a bag and she looked down at the bag and, like, was like, hey, how are you doing? You know, and then they knew.
Oh, right.
And they're like, hey, you need to come here. But she said she was so close to the exit, no one would have known if she wouldn't have talked to the bag. Right?
That's, like, the one thing you have to remember. Right. Don't talk to the bag.
Right.
And she did it.
Yeah. She was, like, walking out, like, out of the airport because it's a handbag. You don't have to put it through security. You know, it's fine. And she was walking out of the airport and she said she was so close. And then she, like, talked to the bag.
Just brain fart or something.
And just, like, and then 30 days in quarantine.
Man. Huh.
Yeah.
And that was in China?
Yeah, just recently. Yeah, just here recently, a couple months ago.
So it's been a while, so, like, she's got the cat.
The cat's good. I mean, she's good. I mean, as good as you can be after being in quarantine,
right, yeah. That's totally scary. So, like...
And cats remember if you leave them. Like, they have these, they do. They're not like dogs where, like, dogs just, like, are, like, so... Like, cats remember when you leave them, and they can be petty. Like, they won't look at you. Like, yeah, they can be very, they're different species. It's kind of crazy.
There goes the guy that abandoned me.
Yeah. How do I slit his throat at night?
Yeah, I know. I think about that a lot. Like, is that what's going on in the cat's mind?
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
There's that, you know, there's that Onion article that says, like, kitten thinks of nothing but murder all day.
Yeah, maybe, you know, let's, I mean, who knows like what they do.
Folklore thing.
Yeah, right. But, they, you know, it's crazy because they do a lot of things that mark their territories. Like, their paws and their noses and their faces have a like, tons and tons of glands. Huh. And so whenever they're rubbing up on you and headbutting you, they're marking you. And they're,
saying, they're
leaving
like,
their
mine.
Scent, yeah, all over you. And they're also, like, making you a part of their family. You know, and so it's crazy the things that they do to, like, you know, all, like, to mark you and to let you know you're my family and you're mine, you're not going anywhere.
Damn possessive.
Yeah,
animals.
Right. Mm. Seriously. Where dogs are just like, hey, it's good to see you.
Yeah.
You just slept, but I'm so happy.
Right. They're always happy.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can just, like, I mean, not that I'd advocate this. You could just, like, hit your dog. And, like,
yeah, no.
10 minutes later, oh,
yeah, that's seriously how it is. Yeah, no, like, true. A cat remembers. They know. Yeah.
Yeah, so what are your plans for, like, the future here? Are you going to stay here for a while?
Yeah, so I've been here almost 3 years this summer. And I think I'll be here a total of 5 years. You know, I think it's one of those places where I love being in Beijing. I love the community. I love my job. Why leave, you know? And it all, and it feels like this is the place where I'm supposed to be, you know, where...
Sure.
Yeah, and, you know, I studied Mandarin when I was in university before.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, so, I mean, my Mandarin is not amazing, but, you know, it's definitely fine where, like, you know, I use all the Chinese apps, order water, order food, able to order taxis, order, yeah. You know, and, you know, like, my life is very local when it comes to, you know, living here, and it makes it easier. You know?
Yeah, those are big barriers to break through.
Yeah.
Barriers that a lot of foreigners never get.
Yeah, and it can be frustrating, you know, not being able to do things alone. That's very frustrating, you know. I'm lucky enough where it's just like, I'm very independent here, regardless of the language barrier, you know.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's, like, for me, that's an important thing, that I always want to be able to do things
by
myself.
Yeah, totally.
I hate asking for help.
Yeah. I mean, imagine, like, every time... I don't know, like, you know, Taobao, the infamous Taobao,
which is like Amazon
store,
basically.
Yes, it's like the 1/4 of the price of Amazon. It's
yeah.
literally the who knows you know, but you can get anything and everything on Taobao.
Yeah,
but many foreigners don't know how to use it because it's all in Chinese.
Yep.
You know, and you have to sign up in Chinese and you have to have a Chinese, like, you know, Alipay, or, you know, you have to have Alipay, actually, I believe, which is a different banking application.
Yeah, you need a Chinese bank account, I think.
Yeah, everything like that, you know, where it's just like, I love Taobao. I never have to leave my apartment to order trash bags, you know, anything, you know, that I need. I'm just like, oh, I'll get on Taobao, it'll come. It's probably cheaper and it'll come here within, it's the fastest service ever, you know. Sometimes you get things same day.
Ridiculously fast. That's where I got this recorder, actually.
Yeah.
That we're recording this podcast.
Yeah.
On Taobao.
Totally. I love, but, you know, there's foreigners that never, ever, you know, conquer those things, you know.
Yeah, they never break through.
Yeah.
I mean, there have been some small ones for me and some bigger ones. Like, I figured out how to order water.
Yeah.
Like you said.
Right.
They, like, the Culligan man kind of
yes,
thing. They bring these big jugs to you.
Yes.
And I just, like, send this phone number a text. And,
right, okay.
I mean, it took, like, a day to get it
set
up.
Yeah.
And I,
but those are the things, like, I mean, living in China, it's amazing. Getting, you know, Starbucks delivered. You know, like,
you get Starbucks.
Yeah,
there.
Like, I literally, if I'm, like, super hungover, honestly, I'm just like, oh, I need a coffee, but I don't want to go. I just order my Starbucks. You know?
I didn't know you could do that.
Yeah, you know, stuff like that, where it's just, like, literally, if you're able to, like, understand and conquer these apps that, you know, the locals use, your life is, like, 1,000% easier.
Yeah, it
you
makes
know?
Things so much nicer.
Yeah.
Man, I guess that's another, just also just an advantage of living in a city that's, like, twice as big as New York.
Yeah,
it's like, you can do that. You can deliver Starbucks. Or,
yes.
or they can.
Yes.
And they can make a profit on it still.
Yeah.
Which is crazy to think about.
It is.
$2, $3 cup of coffee.
Yep. Yeah, and they still, and you know, the delivery charge is literally like 50 cents, you know?
Yeah, right.
You know, like, it's crazy the things that, you know, you can...
But there's these guys zooming around all over the place on electric scooters.
Yeah, yeah.
And even, like, any restaurant will deliver. Yeah. Like, they'll, if they don't deliver directly, you can get a third party.
Yeah, a third party to deliver.
To
yeah, at our school, we, there's not a coffee place that delivers, so we have a coffee committee. And so we order from a coffee place, and when we send a text to this other guy, and mm-hmm. he goes and gets our coffee, pays, and then brings our coffee to our school.
Oh, okay.
So like this third party guy just goes and gets our coffee, you know, and hey, I'm here to pick up XYZ's delivery.
Yeah, you know? Super convenient.
Yeah.
And I guess there's probably just, like, for most goods, there's probably just some warehouse somewhere near here, like, mm-hmm. within a few miles.
Yeah.
They've got these guys on their electric scooters that just zoom around all over the city.
Yeah.
It's really cool. Another, like, really big one for me, this took a long time, was ordering train tickets.
Oh, online. Really?
Yeah. Because, yeah. you know, there's C-Trip.
Right.
But they charge, like, a fairly big commission, especially on cheaper tickets.
Oh, really?
Like, their minimum charge is, like, well, it's not a huge amount. Right. It's maybe 10 or 20 kwai.
Yeah, right.
But on a 50 kwai ticket,
right,
it's, like,
course.
A lot.
Yeah, I agree, right.
And then sometimes, if you buy a more expensive ticket, yeah. sometimes the price is actually higher than the official price, too.
Oh, interesting. I didn't know that.
And then another thing they'll do, maybe there's a way around this, but I've noticed that they don't give you like, when you order a sleeper car,
mm-hmm.
they tend to not give you a choice of which bed you want.
Oh.
And when you get your ticket,
you just got to choose.
You've got the upper bed, right. which is the cheapest one.
Yeah, right.
You don't have a choice.
Yeah.
Anyway, the Chinese app or website mm-hmm. is, all the information's identical
right.
to C-Trip. It's
all
in Chinese.
It's all in Chinese, right.
But the big thing they have is the CAPTCHA system.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like, have you done this
ever? No. I don't really use a train here a lot.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, if you want to order train tickets in China, the way Chinese people do, every time you log in and every time you order,
mm-hmm.
they'll show you like 8 pictures.
Right.
And they're like little thumbnails.
Oh.
And you can't even tell what they are.
Right.
And then they'll put in like a Chinese character.
Right.
That's all
right.
screwed up.
Yes. The apps do that too. And you have to like type in the Chinese character, right?
Yeah. It'll say, well, the Chinese character will, what's a good one? It'll say like, cucumber salad.
Right. And
you have
to choose
the
picture of the cucumber salad.
One or more
of these
following 10 pictures are cucumber salad.
Right.
So first you have to be able to read those Chinese characters, which are already like wavy, you know,
mm-hmm.
they're not like standard print. And then you have to choose one or more of the thumbnails that matches it.
Right.
And then they'll have like one picture will be a plate with a bunch of cucumbers on it that are not chopped up. And the next plate will be like cucumbers that are chopped up.
The question is it worth it?
Are both of these salads?
Is it worth to not like pay the extra 20 kwai?
As far as the money, no. I like,
because that's the thing. Oh my gosh, that would drive me nuts, you know?
Yeah, but I love the challenge.
Well, yeah, right. Have you also tried the... There's so many train ticket offices everywhere.
Yeah.
Have you done that?
I've done it.
Yeah.
And they'll just charge you like 5 kwai.
Right,
totally. It's like a $1 surcharge for any ticket you want.
I actually... I'm like, you know, I'm infamous for messing things up with travels. And I so I do stuff like book a ticket to the wrong place or from the wrong starting place to the wrong place. And so I recently went to Shanghai and I get to, you know, I stop at the train ticket office and I'm like, hey, I'm here to pick up my ticket. And they're like, you can't pick it up here. I'm like, I was like, well, what do you mean? This is the Beijing train ticket office. And they're like, no, you have to pick it up at your destination. And I just kind of blew it. I'm like, no, you don't know what you're talking about. Whatever,
right.
Bye.
Yeah.
You know, just eye roll. God.
Which sometimes might be true. They might just be like...
Right.
You know, screwing around.
Yes,
like,
totally. Because they don't want to work with a foreigner.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And so that's what I just knocked it out. I'm like, whatever, it's fine. I'll just go to the train station and you can pick them up there. So I get to the train station and I'm like, hi, I need to pick up my ticket. You know, the train leaves in an hour. And they're like, Shanghai to Beijing? I'm like, no, I'm in Beijing. What do you mean Shanghai to Beijing? Like, Beijing to Shanghai, duh. Like, I'm here.
Yeah.
And she's like, no, it's Shanghai to Beijing. I'm like, no, you're wrong. I was like, I would not do that. Sure enough, Shanghai to Beijing. And so now there's no tickets to Shanghai.
Oh, no.
Or actually, there was a business class ticket for 1,700 kwai, which is like, what, $250 to $300?
Right.
Which is more expensive than a flight.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so there I am, and I'm just like, you know, I've done this enough where I'm like, you know, I'm just fine. You know, I'm just like, it's fine. such is life. You know, what can I do? I obviously was having a rough week when I booked that ticket.
You know? So you just hate the cost.
Yeah, well, no, I was able to get a refund.
Oh, you were? Okay.
Up until, like, I got, like, probably, like, I don't know, like $80 back out of 95.
Right? Oh, that's not too bad.
No, not at all. But I was like, okay, so then I'm looking at tickets. And then, you know, their websites are crazy. So I'm on the app and they're like, oh, you need a Chinese ID. But then on the computer, you can use it with your passport.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, well, I'm at the train station. I don't have my computer. What am I, you know, like, gosh, this is so inconvenient. So then I was just like, I just took a flight. So then I went from the train station to the airport.
Oh my God.
I'm like, there I am. It's like 7-ish o'clock. My flight leaves at like 8:40. I get off the train probably at like 8. And I'm just like, it's fine. I'm going to make it. It's fine. You know, like, what? Why am I going to stress out? You know, I'm always online. I'm always like, you know, in those situations, like, I always want to look back and be like, I handled it well. You know, I don't want to be like, oh, I was stressed out and I was angry. So now I'm just sitting there, like, casually taking breaths, you know, just being fine. And then I get through security. I get to my flight and they're like, it's been delayed for 3 hours, 2 to 3 hours. I'm like, no, infamous delays. And that's why I don't take flights to Shanghai because they're always delayed like 2 to 3 hours
from smog or for some other
just no reason. There's no reason weather. And I'm like, well, what do you mean weather? I was like, it's
sometimes
a beautiful
that means smog.
Well, it was a beautiful day.
Oh, it was okay.
You know, the last, you know, 2 weeks have been beautiful. It was a beautiful day and it's just
the
like,
weather's too beautiful. We can't
right we
it
can't
with these
yes we can't right and oh, it was so terrible. But yeah, I do stuff like that all the time.
Well, it's better than like missing your flight, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, that's happened to me twice.
You have? Oh, man.
Missed my flight in Thailand. Yeah, you know, I don't know. And then in Mexico, you know, I lost my passport and missed my flight. You know, so I have been like, I'm that guy. And I wasn't like, you know, you can either take it both ways. You can be like, wow, resist that guy or be that guy. You know, and it's like, wow, I need to be that guy because I am that guy. It's happening. And it's like, you know, I just need to be more careful. But at the same time, too, it's just like, you know, things happen.
I think part B of that guy, the guy who like handles the stress well, is awesome.
Yeah,
I mean, that's
right.
Really nice. It's part true. A, maybe. Maybe you could change that.
You know, and the thing is, it's just like I've realized that I just have a lot of things going on. That, you know, like, the human brain can only hold so much.
Yeah, right.
You know? Right. And it's just like, and I would say at every one of those times, I always give 100%. You know, when I lost my passport, everyone says, like, what happened? What were you doing? Were you out? Were you, you know, just like, no, like, what had happened was I was in Mexico, a couple hours away, and I was in the hot springs, and I've made sure that, like, hey, we're coming back on the first because I need to get back for a flight.
Coming back to China?
Coming back to Mexico City so I can get on the flight to Beijing, right?
Oh, okay.
And so I'm there, and then all of a sudden someone changes the plan. And I'm like, no, you can't change the plan. Like, I live 6,000 miles away in Asia. Like, this isn't, I'm not, like, going to the United States, you know, like you are. I'm going to Asia. And whatever, I'm just like, you know what, I'm not gonna fight, you know, I'm an adult and I need to, you know, I need to figure this out, you know. I'm an adult, like, this is not their problem. Like, if they change the plans, I can only you know, I can choose how to react to them, and I need to figure out what I need to do. So I get in this taxi with these random strangers. Okay. You know, we drive an hour in the taxi, we get to the city, and the bus guy was like, sorry, there's no more buses to Mexico City. And I'm like, what do you mean? Like, my flight's in, like, 8 hours, and there's no more buses. And so then they're just like, well, you can try going on this other bus, like, a couple hours away, and then that bus, maybe there'll be buses to Mexico City.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So I get on the other bus, right?
Yeah.
And then my aunt calls me, and like, okay, we're driving home. Like, she's like, we're coming back, you know, oh, you should have just waited, and da-da-da-da-da. And so then I'm just like, stop the bus, I'm getting off. I get off the bus, but now I'm far from the bus station. So then I get in a car with this random stranger.
Hitchhiking?
Yes. Hitchhiking in Mexico.
Just what you want to do when you have to catch a flight.
I would not be recommending hitchhiking in Mexico. So I hitchhike, and I get back to the bus station, and I remember having my passport, and I remember my uncle picking me up from the bus station. And then I get to Mexico City and I don't have a passport or credit cards or debit cards or anything. Miss my flight. Yeah, somewhere. But you know, I always say, you know what? Like in that situation, I was giving 100%. With everything that was going on, I gave 100% of what I could have given, and it wasn't enough. You know, but that's okay. You know, it happened. I learned a lot. I made it back to China.
You know? You're obviously here.
I made it back to China a week later, but I made it back. A week later, but I made it back. Yeah.
How hard was it to get a new passport?
The passport was easy because, you know, thank God for technology. Because, you know, obviously with all the visa stuff that we do here in China, like everything's in your email, right? Your passport, copies of your passport, everything like that. So I was able to just get an emergency passport the next day. The problem was the Chinese consulate, they said to me, you know, we've never experienced your situation, so we don't really know how to help you.
What?
And we can't help you.
Lost passport? They've never experienced that? And they're the consulate?
Of China! Like, and that's what I said to them. And I was like, listen, I'm coming back tomorrow with every type of documentation, every type of form that you need. And so I went back the next day and they were like, sorry, like, we don't know what to do. We can't help you. Like, I was like, okay, so I need to get on a business visa, a student visa, a tourist visa. What? And they're like, no, sorry, you can't. I'm like, so what am I supposed to do? No answers. No solutions.
Oh my God.
So I forget my emergency passport at the desk. Because I'm so flustered and so like, what am I going to do? You know, once again, this is who I am. I forget my emergency passport at the desk. Someone just could have taken it.
Yeah.
You know, thank God no one did. The consulate officer runs after me. Hey, your passport. And she's like, we can help you.
Oh, so now
all of a sudden that maybe they felt compassion and empathy. Yeah. Like, this guy's a hot mess.
Yeah.
You know, we need to help him.
Like, you haven't done enough dumb things yet for us to help you.
Right, yeah. And so they did. They were just like, we know. And then I had to get some forms mailed from China to Mexico, which was a whole nother thing because the addresses are so different and someone wrote the address wrong. You know, and it's just like, you know, it was just a hassle. But I remember, you know, my aunt told me and was just like, you know, you're here. She's like, who knows when you're coming back? You know, she's just like, lip it up.
Is your family from Mexico?
Yeah, my mom's Mexican. And I did. You know, I would do visa stuff from 9 in the morning till 9:15 in the morning. Because literally they'd be like, you need this. And I'm like, okay, well, it's in China. So see you tomorrow. And then I would just hang out in the city. I would rent, I rented some apartments in like the city, went out. Yeah, Mexico City, went out, enjoyed my time, you know, did a bunch of stuff that, you know, I wouldn't have been able to do, met a bunch of people that I wouldn't have been able to meet, and it ended up just being a beautiful time, you know, and it was worth it. You know, I look back now and I handled it amazingly. You know, I look back now and I'm just like, man, like it was amazing. Being able to be at a place and be like, you know what, I have no credit card, no debit card, no money, no passport, no visa, you know, and be able to be like, you know, I'm okay. Life is okay. You know, it could be worse. You know, it could be 10 times worse. Thank God that I left a Chinese card with my aunt with money in it to send back to my mom so that I could deposit money in my American bank account. So I had that extra one.
Okay, so you had some access to some money.
So now, I was able to have access to money. I didn't cancel all my cards. I canceled I canceled everything but like one or two credit cards because I need a credit card I need to book a flight. You know, I don't know when when I'm leaving, but it could be at any day, you know, and I need to be able to book a flight online and use Uber, Airbnb. Those are all credit card based.
Yeah.
You know, and so...
So you had these already, like, your account was online?
Yes.
Like, stored?
Thank God I have... Yes, everything on my phone. I have, like, numbers on my phone. I have, like, all that stuff.
Okay.
Because I listened to this TED Talk before on being proactive about stress and making sure that you have copies of everything, especially when you travel. And so...
That's a good idea.
I'm so thankful that I did.
You lose your phone.
Right. But then it's on the cloud still. And my computer, right?
Okay.
And, but this is the crazy thing. So when I booked this, made this mistake for the Shanghai ticket, the one time, because I have all brand new credit cards that I didn't put my credit card information on my phone, I needed it. Because I needed it to book a flight.
Right.
You know, but I did it. I was like, I have my old credit card numbers in my phone and not my new one. So there, you know, that's the worst thing. Being able to, like, I have to call my friend and be like, hey, my credit card's at home. Can I use your credit card?
Oh, that and that's for a big purchase too. Well, yeah, like, you know that's asking a lot.
Yeah, you know. Okay, hey, I need your credit card number.
Yeah. Oh, and over the phone.
Yes.
Ooh.
You know, and that's what I'm talking about. You know, that independence where it's just like I don't like to be dependent on people, but it's very humbling. You know, it's a humbling experience where you have to, you know, like you have to rely on people to get you to point A to point B. You know,
travel does that to you too. Like it's just part of your life.
Yeah,
when you go somewhere new.
So, and my personality is very much like I'm very independent. I'm very type A. I don't like, you know, I do a lot of things, so I don't put myself in these situations. But the crazy thing is that like I'm in them a lot.
It sounds like it.
You know, I'm in these type of situations a lot, and. You know, but I look back and even leaving Mexico City, so I finally get my visa.
Yep.
Have everything. I'm at the airport and I'm at the check-in and they're like, where's your departure paper? I'm like, oh, well, like everything's gone. Like, can you show me some grace? And they're like, no, you can't leave without your departure paper.
Oh, from your original passport.
Right. And I'm like, well, the flight leaves in like 45 minutes. They're like, sorry, you have to exit the airport, go all the way down to immigration. I'm running to immigration. There's a line with one attendant. And once again, taking my breaths, I'm like, it's fine. I was like, you know what? I've been in Mexico an extra 7 days. What's an extra 8? You know, an extra day in Mexico? I was like, it's fine. I'll miss my flight. It's fine. Can't be the worst thing, you know? Like, it's not the worst thing that's happened to me. You know, like, I moved to China. This is not. And there I am taking my breaths. And the gal behind me, she had like 2 hours for her flight. She's freaking out. She's like, so when's your flight? I'm like, oh, it's in 30 minutes. She's like, so why aren't you freaking out? I'm like, I just don't believe in freaking out. I was like, it does nothing. And I was just like, you know, I'm here, you know? And that's what matters, like the present moment. And so I get to the immigration, filling out pay. They find me still. They still find me, showed me no grace. You know, it wasn't a lot, but it's just a principle. You know, like I lost. This is like, this was just issued yesterday, you know? And, I'm like running to my flight. I make it. So I make it to Dallas, Texas. I get to Dallas, Texas. I have an hour to transfer. I'm like, oh, good. I'm safe. You have to exit the airport in Dallas and re-enter and go through customs, go through security. And I'm on an international flight. And I didn't know that.
Yeah, any American airport.
No, I didn't know that. That's bullshit.
It is. It's the only country I know of that does that.
What do you mean that I have to exit the whole entire airport after I just went through security, customs, everything? And how do you make a transfer? Like, if your transfer for me, it was only an hour. So once again,
you know what's really super bullshitty? Sorry to interrupt.
No, go ahead.
Like, let's say you're from Brazil.
Yeah.
And you want to go vacation like in Spain.
Yeah.
Like almost every flight's going to go through Miami.
Right.
Or
yeah,
Atlanta.
Right.
Or somewhere in the U.S.
Yes. The port.
You can't. Yeah. If you like, you need a visa for the United States.
Yes, yeah.
I flew from Beijing to Germany via Moscow last year. No problem. You don't need a Russian visa.
Yeah, right.
You're only in the airport.
Right, totally.
You need a U.S. visa, even though you're only going to be in the airport for an hour.
Terrible.
You're not leaving the airport.
I mean, that's a whole nother. I was blown away.
It's unreal.
Because for me, it's just like, I called my best friend and I was like, hey, so I'm missing my flight to Beijing. I was like, flying to Dallas, because she works for the airline. She's like, okay, I'm on my next flight. So I get to the airport, you know, and I'm just like taking my breaths, you know, doing, you know, meditation and mindfulness. And I met this guy in Mexico. It was pretty crazy. He is a pagan spiritualist.
What's that?
You know, it means that he's just like he's secular and he takes us all things from all spirituality. And whatever works, works. And whatever doesn't. And so there's this thing in Hawaii. It's like, I don't even know how to say it. It's like Hana Hulu or something. And he's like, you know, and he's like, you need to try this. And I'm just like, yeah, like, I'm willing to try anything. You know, like, the bad luck that I've had, I'm willing. And he's just like, what you do is that you say, I'm sorry, forgive me, I love you. And you just start like speaking the stuff out and it really changes. It's supposed to change energy. And so I'm in the airport and there I am. Like, I'm just like, you know, doing this spiritualist thing, you know, taking my breaths and 40 minutes toward my flight. Haven't gone through customs or security. And this guy that needed to go to Korea, he was trying to cut the line. And I was like, man, I'm sorry. My flight's the same time as yours.
Yeah.
Like, and then, but then I was like, man, I shouldn't have done that. Because I'm a strong believer and just like, I already have this negative energy. Now I just threw more out.
Yeah.
So now I'm sitting there. Now I'm really saying, I'm sorry. Forgive me. I love you. I'm sorry. You know? And sure. So then I let him above. Yeah. He got in front of me and I go through customs. Now I have 20 minutes to get to my flight. The door closes 10 minutes before, I think.
Okay. Yeah.
Belt in my hand, everything, all my belongings in my hand. I rush to the counter. I get to the counter and they hand me a first class ticket
from Dallas to
Beijing.
Nice.
And it was worth it, you know? And it was just like, this was worth it. It was just like, this is why I believe in like mindfulness and, you know, meditate. This, you know, what are the odds that you get, you know, you get there and I'm rushing. I have my belt in my hand. Like I flew standby because of my friend, she works for the airlines, but it's just like, they were calling names left and right. I was 20 minutes before the flight, you know, and they're ready to close everything down. And then I get inside the plane and the guy was like, here, just have, she's like, here, have a mimosa. Let me take your jacket. Here, have some vodka. You know, I'm just like, oh my God, yes, you know, and it was worth it. And I made it back to Beijing. First class, 14-hour flight.
Yeah. You know, like the kind you don't want to leave the plane.
Right. Yeah. I felt so rested. The seats go into a bed. They feed you all the whole entire flight. It was like one of the best experiences of my life, you know.
It's amazing.
It was awesome. But, you know, I mean, I look back on all of that whole situation and it was just like, yeah, you know, like it was a good trip. It was stressful. I learned a lot. I grew. I was challenged. And
yeah, that's awesome. That's such a good thing about travel.
Yeah.
You're going to grow.
Yeah, you grow so much as a person. To. Yeah, you do.
I mean, you've been through more stress than most, I'd say.
Yeah, right. Like,
damn,
I agree.
You handled that well.
Yeah, I agree.
Just hearing your story, I can tell.
Yeah.
You know?
I agree. I mean, it's one of the, you know, yeah, it really puts you in a bind because you really, I mean, I think, you know, and I envy people like you. You're married, so you have Katie to lean on, you know?
Yeah.
Where for me, it's just like, it's just me. It's if I don't get it together, no one's going to get it together for me, you know? So you learn, you know, you just got to pick yourself up by the boots and like, you know, you can cry later, you know, because you don't have time, you know, you need to figure it out and how are you going to do it? And you're the only person that you have, you know? And so I envy couples that travel. I do. I'm like, oh my God, you guys got it so easy in some ways, but yet so hard.
In some ways.
Yeah.
I'm still more like you though, in some ways too. Like I've been, you know, I was single for a very long time and I still travel on my own all the time.
Yeah, cool.
So I'm still like super independent. So is Katie.
Yeah, totally.
We're not like that couple that's always together.
Yeah. Right? My ex-partner and I, he went back to Italy and we traveled together a lot and it was so nice, you know, it was like a break from traveling independently and it was nice just being able to, you know, he was just awesome at organization. He had like itinerary tickets. He had a photographic memory. So like, he's like, we got to Sagres in Portugal. I'm like, I don't know where to go. I was like, we don't even have service. He's like, oh, I remember because of the map that I looked at, you know, and it was so awesome. And I'm like, this is life, you know? And,
when you don't have to do any of that work.
Yes. You don't have to do any of the work, you know, it's exhausting me. Like, you know, I've shown up even to airports. I'm like, oh my God, I don't have a visa.
To the country you're supposed
to go to. Yes, I've shown up to a country and I'm like, I don't have a visa. What was I thinking? And there I am on my phone Googling, do I need a visa for this place? Thank God, as you know, people from the United States, we're very lucky. You know, all
very
the visa
lucky,
on arrivals, you know, that is like, we're so fortunate to just be able to show up at an airport, fill out an application, and you get a visa.
Yeah, for a lot of places.
Yeah.
I mean, I think I just saw a list. I think we're like number 7 or 8 now in the world as far as like the most countries we can go to.
Right.
Visa free.
Yeah. It's crazy. Like I am so thankful and, you know, being abroad, like I've just, you know, I'm really thankful I'm from the States, you know, amidst of all the craziness and all the, you know, the stuff that's going on right now. Like, man, the freedoms that we have and just being able to just go to a lot of places. And without, you know, these huge visa costs, going to visa interviews, you know, jumping all these hoops beforehand, you know, is amazing. Yeah. We don't, you know, it's, you know, I know so many people that for everything, I have to get a visa.
Yep.
You know, and it's just like, what do you mean? We're just going to Thailand.
I know.
What? You're going to like a third world country, you know, a developing third world country. Like, what do you mean you need a visa?
Right.
You know?
Like, what? And we just go there. And
right.
Oh, you're in.
Yeah.
Done. No questions.
Totally. Yeah.
I mean, we had some friends who were going with a bigger group to India,
mm-hmm.
and the husband is from Egypt.
Yeah.
And, like, they wouldn't give him a visa for India.
Yeah, totally.
So they had to cancel their flight.
Oh.
I mean, and this kind of thing happens all the time to him, just because he's from Egypt.
Yeah, I know it.
And he's, like, the nicest guy.
Yes,
and, like,
I know.
I mean, it's unreal how that happens.
Yeah.
I once, when I was in Peru, I met this guy from Afghanistan.
Mm-hmm.
In Peru, and he mostly grew up in the United States,
mm-hmm.
and he was teaching at, like, the UN school
in
New York.
Yeah, oh my God, yeah.
And he showed me his passport.
Yeah.
I think he had two different passports,
yeah.
and they had all these papers sticking out of them. He's like,
yeah.
you would not believe how hard it is to go to Peru.
Oh my goodness.
And for us, you show up at the airport in Peru,
right.
they stamp you in.
Yeah.
90 days.
You know, the other crazy thing is that, like, in Germany, for instance, they allow their citizens to have two passports.
Okay.
Which is amazing. I mean, think about my situation, losing my passport in Mexico.
Yeah.
Imagine if I had that spare passport.
Where, is that why they do it?
I've talked to one of my friends and he said it's just easier, you know, because sometimes you need to turn in your passport for visa stuff.
Oh yeah.
But you still have an extra passport. You know, you're not, like, confined.
It's true.
You know, and it's nice. For me, it's just like, he's like, yeah, I have one for travel and I have one for China. You know? And it's like, that's amazing. You know, like, I think, like, nowadays with technology and everything, it's just like, man, like, why can we not? You know, like, these systems, literally, they scan your passport at the counter and everything comes up. You know, like, why can't it just be connected, you know?
Yeah, it's totally true.
Right.
But it has to be the whole world that's connected. That's the problem.
Right.
It's like, some countries aren't so connected.
Right, it's true. Yeah.
And, I mean, there are situations like certain countries won't let you in if you've been to Israel, for example.
Yeah,
right? Like some of the Muslim nations.
Yeah, totally.
And so, like, they won't even stamp your passport.
Yeah.
They give you a piece of paper.
Yeah,
yeah,
totally.
It'd be convenient for that kind of thing.
Yeah.
I mean, I can imagine it'd be super nice to have a second passport.
I'm sure.
Even if it's the same country for some stuff.
Yeah.
Then there's the dual citizens.
Yeah. Well, I mean, even for here, you know, with the China stuff, like, when you get your visa, you have to turn it in for 10 business days.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. So, like, I came back from Mexico and I missed my trip to Germany, Budapest and Istanbul because my visa, you have to then take it to immigration and that takes 10 business days. So I missed a whole entire.
Oh, that's right. I was going to ask you, like, you didn't miss work or anything? Like,
I did. I missed a week of work.
They didn't fire you or anything?
Oh my God. You know, and that's the amazing thing is that, I work really hard. You know, I work really, really hard. So they, you know, like, I'm really thankful that I have a good work ethic. Because imagine if I didn't, like, they could just use that as an excuse, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, one thing that I can say about my school is that, you know, they do look after, everyone looks after each other.
That's great.
You know, that is, you know, I love, you know, community. And I think that, like, we need community to thrive. And it's an amazing thing to go to work and have an amazing community.
Yeah.
You know, because you spend so much time there, you know, and so, you know, I can really say that, like, my school, really, one thing that it's amazing at is community, and the friendships and the people that you meet and how everyone really does look out for you, you know?
Oh, it's so nice. Like, a lot of businesses here in China, like a lot of companies, if you're Chinese, especially, you're just viewed as, like, no one is unfireable.
Yes,
like,
yes.
No one's too important.
Yes, yes, totally.
And there's always 1,000 people waiting to take your job.
I know.
It's just such a dog-eat-dog world.
It is.
It's just brutal.
It is. You know, and even just, like, my HR, man, like, I mean, 14-hour time difference, right? It was a 14-hour time. She would pick up the phone no matter what, because it's 8 in the morning. In Mexico, right? And it's like 6 in the morning, or like I'm like at the at the consulate, and it's like 3 in the morning for her, or really late for her, and she just went above and beyond, literally what she had to.
Oh, it's so nice.
You know, and I every time I see her, you know, I got her a gift, I wrote her a thank you card. Every time I see her, I'm just like, thank you so much for everything that you have done, because literally, I just this week finished my visa stuff from December. You know, like, it took 3 months. You know, for me to get, because it was like emergency passport, emergency visa, order real passport, transfer visa, you know, then your document for your school needs to be transferred. You know, like, it takes time,
God,
you know, and it's a mess.
Such
you
a
know?
Hassle.
So,
oh my God.
Note to self, don't ever lose your passport again.
Yeah. Man. A couple of years ago, I went to Australia,
mm-hmm.
and I lost my passport there.
Wow.
I was in Tasmania,
mm-hmm.
and it was really hot,
yeah.
and I was like, I have a money belt,
yeah,
so normally
right, yeah.
it's like on my body, like hidden under my clothes.
Yeah.
And then I was walking around and just thinking, God, it's like so hot here. And I'm like, there's no reason for this money belt. Mm-hmm. I'm in Tasmania. It's like this little village I'm in.
Right.
So I took my money belt out, put it in my backpack, day pack, shoved it all the way to the bottom. And I went around, walking around like beaches and stuff and taking pictures. And I was camping in this town called Davenport. And so I got up the next morning and I was just like packing up everything, getting ready to go on this like hike. And I couldn't find my passport, like my whole money belt, the whole thing, all my credit cards.
Yeah, totally.
Like, oh my God, what happened? And I just kind of like spazzed out and like started tearing everything apart, looking for it. And I figured out like, probably when I was taking pictures, it got like, cause it's a belt, maybe it got caught around my camera and it came out of the pack and fell on the ground. That's kind of what I figured happened. I'm like, holy shit. And like, I had, you know, my Chinese visa, like you had like all that stuff. I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to be stuck here for months.
Yeah.
And how am I ever going to get this solved?
Yeah.
And I was like, maybe I can find it still.
Right.
And so I better at least retrace my steps from yesterday.
Right, totally.
So I went out, looked around, like looked at a couple places where I had where I remember taking pictures. Couldn't find it. Then I walked down this path looking for this beach that I took this like really cool sunset photo in. And I got like 50 yards away from it, from where I had taken that picture. And I saw it. It was sitting there like...
That's awesome.
Right next to the road.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Like... 5 feet from the road.
Yeah.
And cars were driving by. No one stopped.
Yeah.
And it kind of blended in with the rocks a little bit.
Yeah.
But I could see it from far away. And I like ran up to it.
Kissed it.
Yes.
Right.
I opened it. Like everything was there. All the money was still in it. No one had touched it.
See, I think of those situations and man, we don't really. Yeah. Matt, like when we're in those situations, you really treasure the things, you know, whether, you know, like it's our passport. That is like, for us, like a vital thing, you know?
Yeah, totally.
It's your identity.
Other than your body.
Yeah.
Like, number one is keeping your body intact and like safe because you only get one of those.
Right.
Number two is your passport.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah. Especially in a country like China where their rules are so strict.
Oh, no.
You know, it's not casual. You know, it really makes you to be thankful. You know, and I'm like so forgetful. Like I've gotten very forgetful. You know what? No, I take that statement back. I, for the most part, am very organized and very type A, and I have a very good memory, but occasionally I can be very forgetful.
Just occasionally.
And like, so I have this check. My ex-boyfriend Patricio, he always said, you always need to do a check before you leave, phone, wallet, keys, check. Everywhere I go, I always do phone, wallet, keys. The one day that I don't, what did I forget? Phone, wallet, and keys in a cap.
All three.
And he, thank God, he was with me. And he said, Moses, phone, wallet, keys?
Yeah.
He's like, hello. Like, hello, you know? And it's those things where it's just like, man, like, I don't know. I've talked to my mom and my, you know, how parents are. What are you doing? I'm just like, listen, if you're calling to be angry and yell at me, like, the conversation's over. You know, I was just like, I'm laying that boundary down real thick today. And two, you don't travel. So you don't know.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you don't know what it is. You know, like, to be in a situation where you have to, you know, get in a taxi with strangers, then hitchhike. Then, you know, like go X, Y, through X, Y, Z in all those circumstances, you know?
All right.
And it's just like, you know, you would hope that you wouldn't, or, you know, something like you just like, it just happened.
Shit happens.
It just happens. And, you know, I've realized that you can either like, you know, fret and stress, or you can just learn to just be like, okay, this is happening. And what am I going to do?
There's that. It takes some like zen-like focus to do it.
Yes, it does.
Man, when you can do it, it's a good feeling.
It is, yeah.
I'll teach you something. Instead of phone wallet keys, there's this joke where I'll try to make it short. There's an airplane and it's like going down. It's like going to crash. And there's this guy on it who's like, he's a Hasidic Jew. He's got like the long curly hair and the hat and everything. And he starts doing the sign of the cross.
Yeah.
And he's like, boom, boom, boom. Like,
right.
Over and over.
Yeah.
And the flight attendant says, hey, I thought you were a Jew. Why are you doing this Christian thing? And
right.
He's like, oh, no, no. This is just so I remember everything. It's spectacles, testicles, wild, and watch.
Oh, that's a good one.
So I have to remember spectacles, testicles, wallet, and watch.
Yeah. Actually, the spectacles one, I need to include that into my check because not only I also lost a pair of glasses in Mexico. You know, like that's the thing. Like, I prepare myself. I have three pairs. You know, like that's the thing. Like, you know, I listened to this TED talk, and he was talking about just like being proactive. You know, always setting your keys in the same place.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and I'm that type of person. Like, my passport's in the same place. Like, I can literally, if something happens, I can tell someone, this is where you need to look.
Yeah, it
because
has a home.
Everything has a home. Like, everything in my home right now has a home. Where it's just like, things aren't just thrown into drawers. Everything has a specific place, and I know where it is. So that if something happens, I'm just like, this is where this is. This is where you can find it. Because, you know, like, who knows if I'm in a different country and I need something from here. You know,
great advice.
Yeah, you know, just look through the whole apartment. Hopefully you find it.
Oh, yeah, somewhere. You know, I've got a secret hiding spot somewhere, but I don't remember where.
Right, you know, just look and find it. No, like, you should be able to tell. It's upstairs in this drawer. Open it, you know. And,
yeah, especially the important stuff.
And it just happened. Nona, when I got spayed, they need that red book, her, like, red health book. I forgot to bring it. And so I'm like, hey, Brittany, can you go into my drawer in my desk? There is in a Ziploc bag her red book. Can you take it? And it was like bam, bam, bam.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't stressful. It wasn't like, I think, you know, my parents were very stressful. They're just Latino. You know, everything is so.
That's true.
And it's made me, and it's made me very like, I don't like that. I do not like stress. You know, when I go home, and it's always a time to leave the airport, it's so. Let's go. Are you ready? Oh my goodness. We should leave. You know, and it's so high intense. And I always tell them, just like, you guys stress me out. I'm like, you know, it's fine. Life is fine. You know, it's, but I'm really thankful. I live a very low stress.
That's good.
Type of life.
Man, my dad's like that too. Yeah. Like with flights and stuff. Yes, he just goes crazy. It's like, God, Dad. Like,
I know.
You know, I've got 2 hours. Still.
Yes, yeah.
It's fine.
Yes, exactly.
And then I get in and it's like, okay, now I got to sit here
at the gate. For like an hour and a half. Yeah, totally. I agree. I'm the same. I mean, my parents are just like, you're going on a flight, are you? And I'm just like, no, it's fine. We're leaving 3 hours early. Like, we'll be okay. Like, I can stop and get a coffee. You know, like, life is okay.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
But I guess you almost have to like deal with a lot of high stress situations to know how to deal with them.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you almost need those experiences to draw upon.
Yeah.
You go like you were saying before, like, it's been worse.
Yes, it is.
This is not the worst thing that's happened.
No, oh my goodness, it's not. You know, and it's just like, you know, one thing that I even teach my students, I'm always just like, you know, practice makes perfect. So, like, we do a lot of meditation in my class. Hmm. And I always tell them, pause. You know, pause. Be pausers. Pause. If you're tired, pause. You know, if you're angry, pause. If you don't know what to do, pause. Just always just pause. Because I'm huge on just like, man, like we do a lot of things unintentionally and then we have to go and fix them, you know? And so I'm always telling them, just be pausers, you know, let's, you know, take your breaths. And like, for me, because I'm their teacher, I'm always trying to be a pauser. So I'm angry. I stop. I'm like, literally the class stops and I start breathing. I just start taking my breaths.
And then they know you're pissed.
Oh yeah. They're like, oh, Mr. Moses is angry.
Yeah.
You know, but for me, like, I'm trying to instill in them, you're seeing me do it. This is what I want you to do too. But because I do it so often, it's helped me a lot in life because now my brain automatically goes to pause. So when things happen, pause. And it automatically just switches to like breaths. Okay, take your breath.
God damn, that'd be nice if you actually had a pause button.
Right? Just and it just stopped, right?
Like there was that old
The world keeps going, but you don't. You know?
Or like you keep going, but the world
stops.
Oh,
yeah, that'd be awesome too.
There's
right?
this TV show
called
What was that show called? I can't remember now. This girl like put her fingers together because her dad was an alien. And she put her fingers together and that paused the whole world.
Yeah, man. Like,
so now she could just go and do whatever she wanted.
Yeah.
And if she touched someone, then they
unpause. Keep going. Yeah. Yeah, so.
Wow, what an ability.
Man, I wish, you know.
It's almost better than time travel.
I agree. Imagine.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's crazy. I always try to, like, I think, you know, I think at the end of the day, you can either grow or not grow, you know?
Yeah.
And if you keep doing, I mean, and for me, like, especially for me, I keep going through a lot of the same situations, you know, so.
It's Are like, you really growing?
Well, I mean, to an extent I am, because my patience level, my, like, not, I'm very, like, I can be very nonchalant. It's fine. It'll be fine.
It's kind of like what I was saying before. I think you, it sounds to me, like, we don't know each other that well.
Yeah.
But it sounds to me like you're really growing in the way that you handle
things.
Yes, yes. The way that you deal with
stuff. Totally.
Now it's just time to grow in the way.
Yes,
like,
in the other way.
Shit.
Oh my,
like,
gosh, totally. Yeah. You know, and this is the thing, I try to be, like, yeah, it's true. That is the one thing that, you know, I need to work on. But, you know, I'm just going to put it to the backboard here. I have so much going on right now. But, like, another thing that I need to work on, I'm all, you know.
Right, that's
but
a lot. Yeah.
It's true. It's very true. It's one of those things that I'm always, man, I'm always making mistakes in. But, hey, you know, I think about, I'm reading the self-compassion book, and it's talking about how we always are, like, so quick to try to find a solution, but a lot of it's just like, man, if you're going through a stressful time at work, what do you expect? Mm. You know, if you're going through stress in your life, of course you're going to make mistakes. That's what stress does. Stress, scientifically speaking, clouds your judgment, you know? And so, what do you expect?
That's how you lose shit.
Right, yeah. That's how you lose shit. That's how you fuck shit up, you know? And because, and it's just like, you know, and China can be stressful. You know, life here is very, highs are high, and lows are low.
Yep.
You know, and so now I take the English, like, you know what, I'm going through a lot. You know, I teach full time. I'm also in school full time. I work out 2 to 3 times a week. I try to cook at home. I have a cat. You know, it's just like, you know, I do a lot, you know, where it's just like, there, of course I'm going to make mistakes, you know, and
yeah, you got a busy life and you're in a foreign country.
Right. And right. And you know, and still a language barrier. You know, where you're, you know, yes, I'm okay, but still I'm not fluent in Chinese, and I still have to, you know, it takes more brain power, you know, because you have to attentively listen. It's not like we're talking right now and it's just like, you know, your brain is just like, oh, I get it.
Yeah,
it's
right,
fine.
Right.
Where it's just like, you really have to listen, you know, and that's exhausting mentally, you know, that's mentally exhausting. And so
for sure, like I do like audio Chinese lessons and at least when I started, the first time I'd listen to a lesson, afterward, I just have to zone out and just look at the wall for half an hour. Because
My
brain is so overcharged.
I remember, yeah.
Ooh, it's tough.
I agree.
But that's how you learn.
Yeah, that's definitely, I completely agree.
I mean, I think travel in general, though, like you're saying, China, the highs are high, the lows are low. Travel is just like that. Like, anywhere you go.
Yeah,
it's just so much more intense than your normal life.
It is. You know, and I've read a lot of, like, articles on just, like, the reverse culture shock, right? If you ever move back to the States.
Yep, yep.
And one of the things that people always say is that, you know, like, life is normal. You know, like, it's just very... Here, it's just, like, honestly, every day is a different day. Yeah. What am I going to see today? Someone pissing on the street? You know, someone fighting? Am I going to get cut off today? Am I going to get the finger? Is someone going to yell at me?
Those are all bad
things.
But
yeah. But, you know, like, but it's, I mean, for me, it's not necessarily bad. Like, for me, I just see it like they make my day different.
Yeah.
You know, whereas in the States, it's so, it can be very level.
Yep.
You know, I think that, like, the other, like, the things I go outside, I'm just like, what am I going to see? You know, and I'm very alert, you know, I'm very, very alert. And also, I guess, I don't see them as bad things. I see them just as like, man, they make my day fun because I'm just like, oh, like that guy's so mad. But like, we're in China. There's like 50,000 bikes, you know, I'm driving on the sidewalk. What are you mad about? This is like life here. You know, like you're on my road, you know, you're driving the opposite way, you know, like I'm just like, you know,
yeah, driving, man.
Like, right.
I just even biking here, some little boy like cut me off. Like didn't
but,
even know
it. It makes you, but you know, like it makes you treasure it because it's just like in the States it can be very, or like in your culture, you don't experience things like that, you know, like it's just very, but there's also a beauty to that, you know, like where you know what's going to happen every day. And I think sometimes.
There is. I think it's cool, like, the situation you've got here is, like, really awesome, because you've got this sanctuary.
Yes, it is my sanctuary.
It's quiet here. Like, I haven't heard one noise from outside this whole time we've been talking.
Yes, yes.
And that, like, when you can't even get away,
that's
so bad.
I agree. I love coming home. I really do.
Yeah.
Because, like, I forget that I'm in China. Like, if I spend a weekend at home, like, I live a very Western life. You know, watching Netflix, watching, you know, just like anyone back home, right. You know, watching, I'm watching The Bachelor too, you know, like I'm also doing everything that everyone else is doing back home here, watching TV, eating popcorn, making banana muffins, you know, like things that people don't necessarily think that you'd be doing here.
Yeah, they don't realize that.
Right.
How normal your life can actually be.
Yes, totally. You know, the only difference is that I can get everything delivered that I want. Right. I don't ever have to leave my apartment.
But if you do, if you walk outside, then you've got this interesting world everywhere.
Totally, yeah.
You just got thousands of people, and they're all going to be doing funny or interesting things.
Yes, yes.
It's cool.
It is. It is very cool. It's very... I think like what you said, this is a sanctuary for me where... I come home, and I love coming home. You know, it's a place for me where, you know, living alone and being alone in China has really made me embrace and find loneliness as a friend, you know, because, you know, I think that a lot of people are afraid to just be with them, you know?
Oh, to be alone.
Yeah, to be alone.
Yeah, that is a scary thing.
You know, it is a very scary thing, but, you know, once you start to just embrace and... I mean, so, you know, and it's an ever-growing journey because, you know, sometimes I'm just like, God, this is so hard. But other days I'm just like, man, I'm so thankful that I can just come home and I don't have to talk to anybody. You know, I don't have to be selfless and have a partner and like be like, you know, if I'm having a bad day, I can just come home and drink wine and not talk to anybody.
Yeah.
You know, where if you have a partner, like you have to engage, you know, you can't just shut down and be like, no, I'm not, I don't want to talk to you right now. You know, like
right.
You have to be nice at least. Whereas I'm home, it's just me and Nona.
You know? Yeah, you got your cat. You can vent to your cat.
Yes, I do. And she's a good listener. She's a talker. Actually, I'm very lucky to have her. She is like a dog in many ways. She waits for me at the door. She like meows all night, all day. And she like literally lays by you.
She's sleeping on your lap right now.
Every moment. Like she actually at night, I like sleep with, like, I just cuddle her. She just likes being cuddled, you know, but like pets, I never realized how like emotionally supportive they are. You know,
because, I'm sure they're doing all kinds of stuff, like activating all sorts of chemicals in your brain and stuff.
But yeah, seriously, you know, I do think like, you know, for me, like I'm very like physically affectionate and emotional. And so being able to come home to a living thing, you know, and that is there and that is sleeping on your lap and it's wonderful. You know, it's a lifesaver for me. Hmm. So.
Yeah. Sounds like, or not sounds like, but you do definitely have a great life here. Like,
yeah.
This is awesome.
I do. I love my life. I wouldn't change it for anything. You know, I really wouldn't. Like, I think that, you know, people, you live in China. Like what?
Do you ever just say like, come visit me?
Like, I do. Yeah. But you know, it's crazy. I just don't have the money. Well, what do you mean you don't have the money? You're going out to the bar every weekend.
Yeah.
You know, like, what? And you're paying American prices. This isn't your... How much do we pay for a beer on the street? 40 or 4 kwai?
Yeah, 3
or 4. 40 cents.
Yeah.
You know? This isn't your 40 cents beer that you're buying. You know, this is American prices. You know, like...
Yeah, my wife's parents are going to come in a couple weeks. Mm-hmm. $500
right.
For their plane ticket from
cheap.
Chicago.
Yeah, so cheap.
Yeah.
That's so inexpensive.
As long as you're not flying during a holiday. It's low
totally.
500s if it's a direct flight from Chicago.
It's crazy. I think that like a lot of people think that traveling is just for the elite, but it's not.
Yeah.
You know, like you
not
can...
Not anymore.
No, not anymore. You can travel the world so inexpensively. And I don't want to use the word cheap. I want to use inexpensive because you don't have to be cheap. You can be, like, go to places, stay at nice places, especially in Asia. Southeast Asia, Asia in general, like, it's an inexpensive place to come and still you can do luxurious things. You know, luxurious in the aspect where nature is beautiful. Like, Thailand, the beaches are beautiful.
Yeah.
And it's luxurious. You know, you are there and it's something that you've never seen before. You know, or go in Vietnam and... Do a 3-day boat cruise for $90 American. That's all you can eat, your stay, and you're in Ha Long Bay.
Yeah.
You know, where it's just like, it's not this crazy expensive thing that you have to do.
No, those countries are so cheap. I mean, you're going to spend more than that just sitting around doing nothing
at
home. Right?
I agree with you. In a month. Yes, yeah. I completely agree.
It's especially if you can figure out a way to save a few bucks and completely leave your old life.
Yeah.
I know it's scary and all.
It is, yeah.
But it saves so much money. Because you don't, like, think about, like, you go on vacation for a couple weeks.
Yeah.
You still have to pay your mortgage
right.
or your apartment.
Right, yeah,
You still have to pay for your car,
yes,
your insurance,
yes,
all this stuff. if you can leave, like, you don't have any of that.
No. It's true. I think for me, you know, and I think for a lot of people, it's just like, you know, I got tired, you know, where my apartment was in the winter $800, you know, in the summer it was still $650, $700. My car, I had a Prius.
Your apartment, the price changed depending on the season?
Because of heat.
Oh, I see.
You know, the heat wasn't included, you know, so yeah. And then your car, you know, I drove a nice car, insurance, you know, and then, you know, that's just in those three things, you know, 700 plus that's 1,000 plus that's $1,200. And then you have student loans, you have life, you have other bills. You know, and
it adds up.
It's done, you know, and so
even have kids.
No,
imagine that.
I'm like, no, without any kids, right? Yeah. And so now I look back, and you know, I'm just like, you know, I will never again buy a car, like a brand new car. Like never again would I ever spend $16,000 on a car. You know, I will get a car that I can pay cash, and it gets me from point A to point B. You know, all these things that you think you need. And then you see the world is stripped of them, and you realize you don't need them, you know, and China has really taught me, you know, like, I live a great life here. I mean, you know, I do. I'm able to live a great life, but at the same time, too, I'm able to pay off so much of my student loans and my debt, and it's worth it. And I'm still able to travel the world.
It's awesome. You know? Well, another cool thing, like being a teacher, is you can do that here and make good money.
Yes.
And like at home, you just, it's just gotten, the climate, I don't know about the whole country, but a lot of the United States, like teachers are not valued.
Yeah,
they don't
I agree.
Paid much.
Yeah. I think, you know, one thing that I always encourage people, it's just like, you know, regardless, like it's worth it because the way that your mind opens up and, you know, especially I think of people from the United States that like a lot of people don't even own a passport. You know, and because there's a lot of culture in the U.S., you know, you don't have to leave to get culture. You know, where in Asia, it's just China. It's just Chinese people. You know, you're in China, you're going to get Chinese people. Where in the States, you're in, even in Wisconsin, you know, huge Mexican population. There, you know, you go to Minnesota, huge Somali population. There's so much culture where people are just like, I don't need to leave. For what? There's the culture here, there's culture here. You know, I love it here. And it's like, man, but when you do leave, it's like the doors, then you just experience so many cultures and realize that the world is different.
Yeah. Yeah, the culture thing, you can get like little snippets of it, like little taste of it in the States, in going into a community.
Yeah.
But it's nothing like going there.
But people are okay with the snippets.
Yeah, I think a lot of people don't even realize, like,
it's true. They don't. I think that's what you said. I think that's true. They don't realize.
When you go to that Chinese restaurant.
I tell people all the time, I'm like, I cannot get sweet and sour chicken. I love sweet and sour chicken.
So good.
I wish I could go down the street and get me some fried sweet and sour chicken. Mm. I was like, that isn't China.
That's not Chinese food.
No, that is not. I was like, you know what Chinese food? Chinese food is street food. You know, Chinese food is amazing vegetables. You know, Chinese food is provinces that have different foods that you would never, ever eat in the States. Yunnan food, Sichuan food, you know, Xinjiang, you know, the Muslim, there's a Muslim territory in China, you know, that's just like crazy, you know, it's just like.
So, yeah, the variety of food here is amazing.
Yeah.
And in Beijing, we've
got
it all.
So you get it all. Yeah.
It's unreal.
I agree.
The one thing, though, we do have Kung Pao chicken.
Yes, we do. And I would say it's way better here.
Oh, yeah.
I would say
so
it's
nice.
Like. And the fried rice, I love, 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 love fried rice. Mm-hmm. And it's so different than in the States. It's not. Here it's like it's made with white rice. A lot of places serve it with white rice, with, you know, ham and egg and everything.
Yeah, they can get it so fluffy.
And it's so tasty.
Uh-huh.
So tasty.
I don't know how they do it.
Yeah, I know. And it's so bad for you.
Well, I guess that's why it's so good.
It's so bad, but it's so good. But, you know, I think that's one of the things that, like, once you are able to experience another culture fully... You just don't, and I think everyone would say that, like, once you get out of the States and, you know, you travel, like, you have that bug in you where you're just like, man, like, I want to see the world, you know?
Yeah, and different people have, like, different reasons why, maybe. Like, some people want the food, some people want the more the culture, the nature.
Right.
There's different things that they want. But, yeah, once you get that bug in you, you're like, oh, you know, I wonder what people in China are like. I wonder what that's like. And there's just no way to do it other than going there. I mean,
yeah, I agree.
Maybe in like 20 years or something, 30 years, we'll have like holograms.
Yeah,
and shit,
right.
And like,
yeah, totally.
You know, you'll be able to like transport yourself somewhere virtually. But we're not there yet.
Yeah. The crazy thing for me is that me coming to China, I've had a dream to come to China since I was 12. So I've been talking about it since I was 12.
Really?
Oh. And so I am so fortunate to, I fulfilled my only goal in life. That was to come and live in China. And
is that scary though? Like now like
no, because
there's nothing left?
No, everything else is a plus. Okay. I have been to the Philippines, Vietnam, I've been to Europe, I've been to Thailand. And every time I land in these different places, I would say, I never ever thought I would be here. I never in my life ever thought that I would be in Vietnam. I never in my life thought I would ever go to Italy. Never. I never thought I'd go to Portugal. I never thought I'd go to, you know, Thailand. And I never do any research.
Obviously.
I just go.
Even the most basic things, nothing, apparently.
I'm just there. I just show up and I always get there. I'm just like, I never thought I would ever be doing this. And so the only place that I thought I would be is here. And here I am. And I fulfilled my lifelong dream of coming to China. And everything else. And now, honestly, I can say, like, I'm happy, you know? I did something that many people don't ever get to do, and that is to say, you know, like, I said that I was coming to China since I was 12, and people laughed at me, and people was like, yeah, whatever, you're going to China, yeah, ha, 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 you know? And I'm like, I'm here.
You figured out a way to make it happen.
And so I've been here 3 years, and it has been a beautiful, hard, challenging, stressful, growing, amazing experience, you know?
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, we've been talking for quite a while.
Not
that long, but so we should finish it up.
Totally.
You've given us tons of great advice. Some really good conversation, man.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming out.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure. I love talking about the experience of traveling and all the craziness. That's how everyone experiences it different.
Sure.
Hopefully no one ever has to go through my passport troubles.
Yes. Don't lose your passport.
Yeah, if you travel, don't ever lose your passport. Just that's what you should take from this podcast.
Okay, that's the advice. That's sage wisdom.
Do not ever lose your passport.
That'll be the title of it.
Yes. Yes, right. Don't ever lose your passport.
I want to thank my guest, Moses Santiago, for coming on the show, and thanks to all of you for listening. I really appreciate all of your support. I do have a website. It's 1000daysbetween.com. That's the number, 1000daysbetween.com. And from there, you can get all kinds of information about me and about this podcast. I also happen to take some pictures so you can see my photography, and I'm writing a book, so look for that coming out this summer of 2017. I really hope I'm putting the final touches on it right now. Okay, everybody, see you next time.